Happy Mother's Day. Good day. Good day. Good day. Turn to 2 Timothy 1. Can you believe it? I am not saying turn to Nehemiah. That's an unusual thing to say something different, but I'll get to that in a second. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, there was a pregnant woman who was in San Antonio, Texas, and she was in kind of a pretty bad accident, car accident, and it put her into a coma. She was pregnant and 7 months along when she went into the coma, and about 6 months after being put into the hospital, she woke up. And obviously, being pregnant, the first thing she did was she looked down and the baby's, or the baby was gone, or in her mind, baby. And she said, "What happened to my baby? What happened to my baby?" And they say, it's okay. Your babies were fine. You actually had twins. You had a boy and a girl." And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, they're fine. Your brother from College Station came up to take care of you and to name the children." And she went, "No." She goes, "My brother from College Station came up?" She says, "He's a nitwit. He is a total moron. I cannot believe you gave my children to him and that he named the kids. This is a disaster. I mean, it's one thing to be in a coma. Another thing to know, my brother had to name my children. What did he name the girl?" "Denise." "Oh, well, that's not bad. Denise is a nice name. I'm shocked. That's not bad at all. What did he name the boy?" "DeNephew." So, you know, never get, I don't know, that just cracks me up. You're going to tell that tomorrow morning. You will tell that tomorrow. That's just the funniest thing. You got to love family, right? We got to love family. We are not married into, well, we are married into some families, but we don't have a choice with our family, right? We get stuck with what we have, or we're blessed with what we have. And I want to talk a little bit about a young man by the name of Timothy who was blessed to have a great family. He had Lois and Eunice. I couldn't think of a better way for us to talk about Mother's Day, but also lead into 1 and 2 Timothy. So that's why we're going to be looking a little bit about 1 and 2 Timothy this morning, because that's going to be our summer series, and you're going to be hearing me say a lot, turn to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, because that's what we'll be doing on Sunday mornings. But you have this incredible story of Paul essentially loving on this son in the Lord. So it's a physical family that Timothy's blessed with, but he's also blessed with a spiritual family. He's blessed with like a spiritual father. In fact, Paul says, "Timothy is my spiritual son," and he treats him as such. But he's got to be very proud of the things that he's done, and he does say so on many occasions. But I just thought it was really interesting how Lois and Eunice were so influential in training up and exemplifying God's love and God's character, and you see it in Timothy. So turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 if you're not there, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. And you'll see the power of a mother's influence, a grandmother's influence in this case as well. Paul is writing, of course, to Timothy, and he says, "I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I," and we talked about this last week, "that I may be filled with joy." So he talks about joy here in relationship to Timothy. And he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith." Your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice. And Paul says, "And I'm persuaded it lives in you also." I mean, Paul's impressed with Timothy, and he's impressed with Timothy because he's impressed with Lois and with Eunice and the love that they gave to him. This word sincere, if you've got the King James Version, you're going to see the word unfeigned, which we don't use that word very often anymore. But the Greek word means without hypocrisy. It's a faith without hypocrisy. It's a sincere, genuine, honest, heartfelt faith. And so Timothy observed that in his mother, observed that in his grandmother, and then in turn put that into his own heart, this sincere, authentic faith. But it started in a grandmother that was passed on to her daughter and then passed on to Timothy. And I just think that's pretty powerful. They were obviously devoted and committed to God. So thinking about that this morning, children know if their parents' faith is genuine or not. They pick up on it pretty easily. I don't know if you noticed, kids are fairly observant. And so it's really important for us to realize the importance of sincere faith, an authentic faith that they can see. For moms and dads this morning, if you want to install a sincere faith in your children, you better make sure you have a sincere faith in your own heart. And if you don't have that, then you continue to build that. And you continue to show that and exemplify that throughout. And some of us are going to get to be grandfathers and grandmothers one of these days. Some of you already are. And so you get to exemplify that sincere faith for your grandchildren. I love what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "All that I am or hope to be, I own to my angel mother." Preached this 5 times. Cried all 5 times. I knew it was coming. Talk about a dad's influence. Important in my life. My mom's influence was huge. My mom was a quiet... Well, I can't say it that way. She talks a lot, more than me. But she was a quiet, genuine person. Is, to this day. I learned something from her that it's taken me, I guess, years and years and years to figure out what I learned from my dad and what I learned from my mom. But incredible influence. And I love what Abraham Lincoln says. "All that I am or hope to be, I own to my angel mother." The great evangelist Dwight Moody says the same, almost the exact same words. He says, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Now, I don't have my mom nearby. And so, it's been interesting to be in ministry because I think I have shared a Mother's Day Sunday with my mom once in 35 years. So I don't get that privilege to do that very often. So if you get to celebrate that this morning with your mom, you should give her a big hug because that's important stuff. There you go. It's good to be, you know, with your mom. I love, appreciate Brad reading that for us just a minute. Where's Brad at? Proverbs 6:20-22. So it's great that we have a couple of younger people in here. That's the only bad part about a Mother's Day sermon is most of the kids leave, and I wanted to say some things to them. But here's what Solomon in his wisdom wrote in Proverbs 6. "My son, keep your father's command." I love that part. "And do not forsake your mother's teaching." Why? Well, if you bind them always on your heart and fasten them around your neck, when you walk, they'll guide you. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they'll speak to you. Those are almost the essential words Solomon is saying here in Proverbs chapter 6 that are talked about in Deuteronomy 6 about the laws of God and how important those are. So the mother's teaching is a reflection of her father's teaching. And that's what you see in Lois, and that's what you see in Eunice. I love the story of Susanna Wesley. Susanna Wesley is the mother of John Wesley, and also of, I'm going to forget his first name, Charles Wesley. I was going to say Thomas. That didn't sound right. She deserves a lot of credit for Charles and John growing up the way they did, but she deserves a lot of credit for being a mother because she had 17 children. That's pretty impressive. Now, 17 children. She spent an hour every single week, 1 hour, praying for those 17 children. She made it a habit in her life. She also would take each child and spend 1 hour with them each week. So 1 hour for 17 children, 17 of her hours each week were spent with her children, teaching them and raising them and helping them understand biblical things and theological things and reading scripture and talking about them and having this practical conversation with her children. No wonder that Charles and John grew up the way that they did. You know, it's because of a mother's influence. And you see that in Timothy. I just want us to see that in Timothy this morning because of their faith, because it was important had to be important to them because of the words that are said, this genuine faith, and because of what we'll read here in just a minute, it tells us that they took it seriously. And I think passing on our faith, whether we're moms or dads, is our greatest mission. It's the greatest mission that we can have. It's simply to pass our faith along, and we do that through the reading of the Word. Look at 2 Timothy 3:14-15. Again, little nuggets when we get into 1 and 2 Timothy over the summer. I really want to encourage you to be a part of our study on Wednesday nights because we're going to have some great speakers and some good lessons from these two books. But Paul's reminding Timothy, I want you to carry on your mission. I want you to maintain your upbringing. And he says this, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and you've been convicted or convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So from the time he was born, he's been given this incredible faith, these Scriptures. And that's the greatest thing that we can pass on to our kids and to our grandkids and to our friends, for that matter. We need to teach them the importance of the Scriptures from the time they can understand. And we see this gift of Scripture and this gift of teaching lived out in Timothy. And how Paul brags on him. Turn to Philippians chapter 2 as we kind of close up. It's a shorter lesson this morning, but Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 22. You know, Philippians 2 is known for the beginning of the chapter. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any affection of love, any sympathy, you know, complete my joy, that have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And we keep going with, you know, who though he's in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. And then you kind of stop reading that chapter sometimes. And there's some great stuff that follows this example of Jesus. And here's one of them, Philippians 2, 19 through 22. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. This is just kind of Paul's reflection on Timothy, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him, is what Paul says. Who will show, and look at that word again, genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I mean, that's the greatest compliment that Paul could possibly give to a young man, is to call him son and to say, I don't have anybody else like him. I mean, he writes two books of the New Testament to Timothy to encourage Timothy in his walk and to continue to strengthen him in his faith. And he just brags and brags and brags on Timothy. Well, Timothy is the man that he is. Abraham Lincoln was the man that he is. John and Charles Wesley were the men that they were. And Dwight Moody was the man that he was, because they had strong parental influence, especially a good mama. And so continue to do that. Continue to do that as moms and as grandmothers. Don't ever think that we're not paying attention. Because I did. I mean, I paid attention to my mom. I remember having conversations, and I remember thinking about some of the things that were biblical and spiritual, and that was mostly dominated by my father. And Hunter, I'll tell you, my dad can definitely talk about God. Sometimes to the point where you're like, shut up. Will you just talk about something else? And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just my mom had some incredible influences. And so do you. And so will you continue to have that. So moms and grandmas, we're thankful for you this morning. And we're blessed to have you in our lives. And so happy Mother's Day to mothers and to grandmothers. And for one who's a mother now who hasn't seen the child yet, mother, that's about to be, and for those of you that will be in the future. I mean, we know we're going to have some other babies down the road. And so I want to encourage you this morning to plant the Word of God in your children's hearts. Let them see your faith and watch it grow. It's amazing what happens. It's amazing what happens when God's Word is planted in the living water is constantly poured on those seeds. So if there's something we can do, we usually have an invitation song, as we call it, but if there's just something we can do to pray with you or for you, we've got something special for you here in a moment, but we're gonna take care of this song and a prayer and some announcements, and then we want to do something special for our moms this morning.